This conference will now be recorded.
Be doers of God's word. And kind of as a special request, I've had two or three people kind of wanted me to talk concerning a movement of our brothers back in the day, the Black Panther Party, so to speak of. So we're going to kind of use them as an example to show that these brothers, they didn't just talk the talk, they also walked the walk. And you see, I became affiliated with them around 72. But before I became affiliated with them, I learned that they had been in, came, they was organized around 1966. Brother Everett Cleveland and Bobby Seale were schoolmates in college. And these are the two official young men that came together and started the civil rights movement back in the day. We find out that even back then, 50-some years ago, the struggle is still the same today. Is it because talk is cheap? We say that we want to do what needs to be done, but when it comes time to stepping up and stepping out, what do we do? In 66, the civil rights movement that African Americans embraced its strategy, nonviolent protest against the racial segregation and demanded the right of But for an increasing number of African Americans, particularly young Black men and women, that strategy did not go very far. Protesting segregation, they believe, failed to adequately address the poverty and powerlessness that generation of systematically discrimination and racism had imposed upon many Black Americans. Inspired by the principle and racial pride and self-discrimination expressed by Malcolm X at the time, as well as liberal movements in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, the Black Power movement that flourished in the late 60s and 70s argued that Black Americans should focus on creating economic, social, and political power of their own rather than seek integration of white dominant society. So, you know, people that weren't really familiar with them, a lot of people got the wrong impression why they were organized or what they were really all about and the main functions and what they were trying to do. It was not a radical violent group as I then, J. Edgar Hoover, who's over the FBI. This was, he was trying to impose to the people. That's what the group was all about. Critical Black Power advocates, particularly more military groups like the Black Panther Party, did not discount the use of violence, but embraced Malcolm X's challenge to pursue freedom, equality, and justice by any means necessary. Many people don't know that Dr. King had close affiliation with the Black Panther Party back in his day. Just, you know, when, I don't know, some of us are old enough to remember when King was trying to cross the Mississippi over into Jacksonville, that are doing that protest right there, King and several of them were arrested behind that. The emergence of the Black Panther as a parallel force alongside the mainstream civil rights movement occurred during March Against Fear, Against Voting Rights in Mississippi, and in June 1966. The march originally began as a solo effort by James Merritt, who had become the first African-American to attend the University of Mississippi, aka Old Mississippi, in 1962. He had set out in early June to walk from Memphis, Tennessee to Jackson, Mississippi, a distance of more than 200 miles, to promote Black voters' registration and protest on ongoing discrimination in his home state. Because at that time, we did not have, Blacks were not allowed to vote openly and freely. So this was part of the struggle that it took just where we could get to the polls. We were talking, but nobody at that time was really acting. We wanted things to progress. We wanted to go forward, but yet there was only a few that were stepping up to the plate. In the days to come, well, after the white gunman shot and wounded Merritt on a rural road in Mississippi, three major civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King Jr. of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Stokely Carmichael of the Student Nonviolent Coalition Committee, and Floyd McKissick of the Congress of Black Racial Equality decided to continue the march against fear in his name. In the days to come, Carmichael and McKissick followed marchers were harassed by onlookers and arrested by local enforcement while walking through Mississippi. Speaking at an early rally of support in Greenwood, Mississippi on June 16th, Carmichael, who had been released from jail that day, began leading the crowd in a chant, "We want Black power." That refrain stood a sharp contrast to the civil rights protests where demonstrators commonly chanted, "We want freedom." So it was a little contradictory there on the chant. So the author Richard Wright had written a book entitled Black Power in 54. He had been used among other Black activists before. Stokely Carmichael was the first to use it as a political slogan in such a political way. Stokely Life. The events in Mississippi captured Stokely into the space left occurred by Malcolm X. You know, Malcolm X was gunned down. As he went on TV news shows and profile, Ebony had written up the New York Times under the headline, Black Power Prophet. Carmichael's growing prominence put him in at odds with King, who acknowledged the frustration among many African-Americans with the slow pace of change, but did see violence and separation as a vital path forward, with the country mirrored in the Vietnam War, a war both Carmichael and King spoke out against, and the civil rights movement of King had championed losing momentum. The message of the Black Power movement caught on with an increasing number of Black Americans. Again, we were at that point still nonviolent. The marches, the rallies, they were trying to make our Black people aware of what was really going on. But I do have to admit, I mean, I saw a lot of fear in us back then. We were afraid to come out. We wanted things, but we were afraid to speak out and to acknowledge. It was the young generation that were active, but trying to become involved and what have you. But again, it was a trying time. In the aftermath of King's murder, a mass outpouring of grief and anger led to riots in more than 100 US cities. Later that year, one of the most visible Black Power demonstrations took place in the Summer Olympics in Mexico City, where Black athletes John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised Black fist gloves in the air on the media podium. By 70, Carmichael, who later changed his name, had moved to Africa, and SNCC had been supplemented at the forefront of the Black Power movement by more militant groups such as Black Panther Party. This is a name that came out of that. That's when they started calling us the Black Panther Party. U.S. organization, the Republican, the New Africans, and others who saw themselves as heirs to Malcolm X revolution philosophy. Black Panther chapters began operating in a number of cities nationwide where they advocated a 10-point program of socialist revolution, backed out arms and self-defense. The group more practical effort focused on building up the Black community through social programs, including free breakfast for school children. Many in mainstream white society view the Black Panthers and other Black Power groups negatively, dismissing them as violent, anti-white, anti-law enforcement. Like King and other civil rights activists before them, the Black Panthers became a target of the FBI counterintelligence program, which weakened the group considerably by mid-1970s through such tactics as spying, wiretapping, falsely accusing people, and even assassination. Even after the Black Power movement declined in the late 70s, its impact would continue to be felt for generations to come. With this emphasis on Black radical identity, pride, and self-determination, Black Power influenced everything from popular culture to education to political, while the movement changed to structure, inspired other groups such as Native American, Asian American, and LGBT to pursue their own goals of overcoming discrimination. The legends of both Black Power and Civil Rights movements live on in the Black Lives Matter movement. Though Black Lives Matter focused more specifically on criminal justice reform, it challenged the spirit of early movements in its effort to combat systematic racism and social, economic, and political injustice that continue to affect Black Americans today. So you see, even back then, we as young Blacks were attempting to achieve something that actually I don't think our older people were ready for, because we fought, we actually met as much resistance against our elderly Black people as we did the opposite race. It's been 50 some years, and I see there's been some progress. King, one of his greatest speeches, he's been to the mountaintop. He wanted to see progress for his children. Well, here it is 53 years later, and we still, his children have not seen the mountaintop in which he had hoped for 50 some years back. Why is this? This is a question I ask today. Why have we not gotten any further? Why is it that we have not progressed any further? Why are we still fighting on the same front that we fought on 50 something years ago? I'm a little baffled by that, you know. Many Christians are willing to talk about their faith, about the Lord. Unfortunately, not all of those are obedient, translating their faith into action and conduct commanded by the Lord. The number of those talking the talk includes some not walking the walk. Say this another way, hearers only of God's word are not the same as the faithful doers of the same word. This is not pleasing to God, and he deals with this exclusively in Scripture. May the Lord use this to lead us into a helpful self-examination. It is time for us to examine ourselves to see where we really are. Let's look at 1 John 2, 1, 3, 4, and 6. here in the scriptures, we find that the Apostle John writes, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandment. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in the person. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Again, we're talking the talk. We hear it on Sunday mornings. We hear it when we pick up, play our CDs. We hear it when we are out here on street corners, you know. But there's only a few willing to go out on the street corners, because that part would be walking the walk. We're going to have to step forward and do better. The Apostle John knew Jesus personally. He had spent 3.5 years of his life accompanying Jesus in his ministry. He knew the Lord very well and was used by God to write about 20% of the Word of God. In the verses above on the Holy Spirit inspiration, John says clearly that it is not enough just to talk the talk. The true believer also must walk the walk. Or to combine the thoughts into a simple memorial and third phrase, walk the talk. As I studied and prepared for this, I began to do self-examination for myself. You know, what am I doing to walk the walk? Where am I going that Jesus wants me to go? And this is something that every Christian have to do for themselves. You know, we talked before about the man in the mirror. Well, when we go and look at that man in the mirror, what is he telling us? What is he showing us? What is he letting us know that we're doing? What are we doing? When we begin to self-examine, and I'm going to give us a chance to elaborate, because I want to hear, what are we doing? How are we walking the walk? You know, likewise, there are many who claim to live in Jesus, but those live say the exact opposite. The Word of God tells us that we make the claim we must live as Jesus did. Is that something that the believer can take an opinion on? No, it is a biblical must. The true believer in the Lord must strive to walk the walk of our Lord Jesus, exemplified while on earth. He must aim to be like him in our conduct. We must seek to transform into his image, his likeness, his holiness, his blameless character. And genuine believers are embedded to pursue these noble goals effectively by the power of the Holy Spirit and dwell in them as born again sons and daughters of God. My questions tonight that I put to you: are you walking the walk, or are you just talking the talk? I'll let you elaborate on that at this time. Anybody? Nobody.
You gave us a lot to think about.
It is. I agree it is. James 1:22 tell us, do not be merely listeners to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Probably most of the reading this today, hear the word of God with you. Perhaps doing church sermons or listen to CDs or the internet. When did the word of God reach you? We as believers, when did we step forward and embrace God into our lives? That we are ready to go forward in his name. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Whosoever has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is the love of God, to keep his commandments. It's common for Christians to profess, I love God, I love Jesus. That's a very good thing to do. In fact, Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment, that you love God with all your heart and soul and mind. However, these can be nothing more than empty words if another element is lacking. And that element is a life dedicated to keeping the Lord's commandment. We talk, and hopefully very sincerely. So it's stated like, I love you, Lord, the walk. It's not easy, but equally, and that is obedience, keeping the Lord's commands. As we read, Jesus himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The Apostle John wrote that it is an effective definition of loving God. This is love for God, to keep his commandments. It's a lot to think on tonight. It's a lot to keep and keep embedded in the things that we are now doing. We hear Christians all around us all the time confessing their love for God on Sunday. But we hear our pastor all the time say, come back on Monday and see if we are still the same people. Well, that's our daily walk. Not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. That's our daily walk. We are to be doers of God's word. I hear Christians say such thing as, I'm not ready right now. Again, it goes, talk is cheap. It's one thing, and it's easy to say you love the Lord, and it's a whole other thing to say to be doers of God's word by keeping his commandments and instructions. Jesus and the Apostle John is proof that we do indeed love the Lord. Examine yourself. Have you fallen into the trap of these slogans? We know that we have passed the death of life because we love each other. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. I'll open the floor for questions, comments at this time.
It's thank you, Reverend. This is Reverend Thomas. That a lot of the walk in the walk is us just emulating Christ, like doing the things he did, trying to love our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors as ourselves, trying to care for the least of them, trying to feed the multitude. Matthew 25:35, when I was hungry and ye gave me something to eat. And so sometimes just loving our own and trying to go above and beyond, and then also standing firm on his word. And so many times not wavering, standing up and declaring that we believe, and not just verbally declaring it, but through our walk. And so not just talk the talk, but through our walk. So how many of us can say someone has a deeper or close relationship with God because of our lives. And so when we look in the mirror, is God pleased with us? Can people look at me without wearing a shirt or a hat and know that I belong to God?
Amen.
And so part of walking the walk is walking in his footsteps. And so walking in Jesus' footsteps, yeah, we can't fit in his shoe, but there are some things if we truly say we love and we trust and we are to be Christ-like, there are some qualities coming out.
Amen. And that is true. Anyone else?
I'd like to add on Reverend Robinson to what Reverend Joseph just stated, that number one, we have to be obedient to the word of God. And then as he stated, obedience first to his word, to do what he commanded us. And that is to, in order to do what he commanded us to do, is to stay in his word and stay in prayer. And that way we'll know his will, what he would have for us to do. Like following in his footsteps, we have to follow Jesus as the way that he opened up for us. First, to love God, the first two commandments, love God with all your mind, your soul, and your heart, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if we're able to do those two commandments, we're pretty well much be able to do the other things that we're supposed to do. But as been stated, we have to look at ourselves and see what we are doing, see how we are walking, following Christ, stand in his word, and let his word lead and guide us, because we have our roadmap, is our Bible. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know what the Lord will have me to do. Well, if you get in his word and prayer, he will show you what you must do, because this is the way. And when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he left this his word for us to follow. So we need to be obedient unto him, to keep our faith, to love our fellow man, to be obedient, starting with our families, our church families, and then from there, go out into the world, because charity starts at home. And that's love. That's when we can love God and love ourselves, then we can love our neighbors, and then we can help when we see people in need of help. I want to give you this little experience I had on Sunday before last. When I came home from church, there was a lady laying on the walk where I stopped at the store on the corner, and nobody was doing anything for her, so I asked them in the store had anybody, you know, inquired about her, and the man said no. So anyway, I said, well, I came back to my car and I sit there. I said, Lord, tell me what to do, because I need to help this lady laying down on the pavement. And you all know how hot it was around 12:30.
Oh yeah.
Well, right then it said, call the paramedic. That's what I thought. Call the paramedic. Well, for some reason, my new phone, I couldn't get 911.
Oh wow!
So I came home, and I got my other phone, and I called 911 and told the lady what the situation was, and she said, I'm just to send a paramedic around there right now. So I didn't go back, but I felt like when she told me, she was very firm and that she would. She said, oh yes, ma'am. So I'm sending a paramedic right there. So you know. These things, when we see a person that needs help, then reach out. I don't know what was wrong with the lady, but she was just laying there on the sidewalk, and you know how hard concrete is.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're just to reach out and help one another, especially when we know there's someone that's in need, and that's how we show our love one for another, as Reverend Joseph said a while ago when he said, you fed me when I was hungry. You came to see me when I was in prison. And we do the things that we know that Jesus did. Therefore, that will help us to walk the walk instead of just talking the talk, as Reverend Robinson said. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes. She is so right. That was walking the walk. How many more of us have walked the walk and similar to that?
Amen.
Just today, I guess I had a similar experience. And just young man, he was a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
We were up in Plano and didn't quite know what he wanted to do or where he was going. And so I went inside to the building and asked the people if they knew the young man or what. No one knew him, but they called paramedic for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Come to find out he was having some mental problems and what have you, you know.
Yes,
but, you know, even in reaching out, doing, I'm gonna show you how the devil works. Now, helping this young man, my wife and I got ready to leave Plano. My car is still in Plano.
Oh, my goodness.
It wouldn't start, you know.
It wouldn't start, my Lord.
That is mind confusing, boggling. That's to throw me off, that knowing I had to teach tonight, it was a distraction for me in order to be upset, to be thrown off, not to do the will of God. But you know, I got on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, that caused a material piece of thing. I say, you'll continue to take care of it. I said, I need to get home and prepare to do what you want me to do tonight. So we can't be distracted by what's here on earth, because the devil throw things at us each and every day, you know, because his job is to do what? What's his job?
And walking around, whom he may devour, distract him, destroy, kill, steal, and
destroy.
That is. So in any way that he can destroy you reaching out and helping someone else, take your mind off of it, show you that, leave that alone, that ain't your business, Don't mess with that. You know that he's trying to win you over to his side.
Sometimes
we see people that's out there struggling, and that's the whole purpose, is to use us as game.
Amen.
But Lord to the disciple, not me. I do what I'm supposed to in this manner and let the Lord handle the rest.
There you go. Mm.
Anybody else?
Reverend Ross, I remember a time when I was a manager of one of the senior centers. And, you know, we have a habit of looking at people when they're walking up and down the alleys, you know, when they're dressed hot and it's, you know, cold, or they're dressed reverse of the weather or stuff like that.
Correct.
Well, I never forget, I saw this elderly gentleman walking in the alleyway behind the senior center. So I invited him to come to the center in a couple of days, the next day if he wanted to, but we were having a special dinner, a lunch. He said, "What you want from me?" And I said, "I don't want anything from you. I would just like for you to come and, you know, share in the fellowship with our other seniors." I said, you might be, you know, might really enjoy it. He said, "I'm by myself. I've been in here for ever since 1952. Well, I want you to know, he came to that center. And I want you to know, he came, we found him an apartment. While they were fixing the apartment, he needed a place to stay. So I brought him to Hutchins Hotel here in Hutchins, and he came to fellowship with me at church.
Okay.
I want you to know, when that man died, he was a member of College Park Baptist Church.
I want
you to know, he loved College Park. Everybody don't know him, but a lot, everybody that was here, they remember Brother Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And he will come Sunday morning. He'll be ready for you to come pick him up for Sunday school. So we don't never know what a little bit of difference, just that one something that if the Holy Spirit touches your heart, respond. Don't you decide who you're going to speak to or who you're not going to speak to. But if the Holy Spirit convicts you, you need to move. You got, that's all I'm saying, you got to move. And the word says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
But one thing I have learned, what you do to others, what you don't do, you've done unto the Lord. That's what the word says.
Yeah.
When you've done to the least of them, you've done unto me. So it's important that we do that. And I know some other things even right now. And if God moves on my heart, I know that we have to be obedient and move forward in his will. So this, what you said tonight was really inspiring, and it was a very, it just validates what the Lord has already given us. So we just thank and praise God for what you've given us tonight.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? First John 3:22 tells us, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to his sight. Sometimes it seems like our prayers are not being answered. But I wanted to suggest to everyone possible reasons why, from this verse, its positive teaching is that we ask and receive because we keep God's commandment and do the things that are pleasing to his sight. That if we are not keeping his commandments and if we are not doing the things that's pleasing his sight, we have no biblical right to expect to receive what we are asking from him. We are told that we ask and receive from God because we keep and do. This speaks of our deeds, our actions, our conduct, our obedience to his commandment. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Ephesians 2, amen, but too many Christians overlook the very text. Verse 10, for we are God's handwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works. We are not saved or kept by works, but we are most certainly new creation in Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:17 let us know to do good works. Why are our works important to God? To get saved? No. To stay saved? No. But because we are saved, as born again children of God, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 Again, not to get saved or to stay saved, but being doers for God because we are saved. Again, because we are saved, we are doers of God's word. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and reprobated. Not to overwork the expression, but in truth and talk is cheap. It's easy to talk a lot about God and his son Jesus. And yet some who do so are popular, opposed. Some professors believe to use one of many favorite expressions, but said Paul, it works, they deny him. He called such people admirable, disobedient, and reprobatable. Let me use an example that may be a bit of a stretch, but I do think it fits. That someone is all hat, no cap. Spiritually speaking, you can see in the lives of some who profess no God, little talk. Gallon hat, but there is no godly fruit in their lives, no cattle. but rather wicked works that deny and contradict the confession of their mouth. Luke 6 and 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out the demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Perhaps Jesus may have been thinking of the biblical proverb about those who have fevered lips with an evil heart, Proverbs 26 and 23, or perhaps of Ezekiel 33:31, where mouths speak of love, but their hearts are so they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. The professional, Lord, Lord, fevered lips, and the apparent presence of the Spirit in a person's life are not the Lord's measured rod. Jesus said that in the judgment, there would be many saying to him, Lord, Lord, and saying that they've been used and prophesied, casting out.
Can't hear you.
It just.
They not on us. Yeah. There you go.
Oh.
You fading out.
Okay, how's that?
We can hear you now.
All right. We were just coming to the conclusion of this, the saying that scripture letting us know that we have to be able, for the love of God, we have to be able to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Be doers of God's word. Don't just talk God's word. Let the world know what you're really about. Let your actions speak for you.
All right.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
If there's any comments, you may do so at this time.
Reverend, it's been a very eye-opening and ear-opening lesson that you brought to us tonight, and it really should touch our hearts to know that we need to walk like Jesus. And if we walk like him, then we will walk the walk, and we won't just talk the talk. When I was growing up, I would often hear my mother say that, you can talk. A baby can talk, but what are they saying? And plus, you can talk, but it takes money to buy land. So that means that we have to do more than just talk. Thank you.
Mm.
I enjoyed the discussion.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoyed the discussion too, Reverend Robinson. I think you did a good job. And like you said, I asked for some things, and it's been brought out also.
Mr. Kwame, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No.
No.
Real low.
Hello.
Barely hearing you, barely.
Well, I
put the speaker.
Okay, I guess, can you hear me now?
There you go.
Okay, well, I just wanted to, I thought about the scripture, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And in order for us to walk the walk, like it's been forestated, we have to have the love of Christ in us. And it's just amazing to me because I remember when I first accepted Christ, I felt so unloved. And then when Christ came into my life, I felt it was just an altogether different thing. I felt God's love, and I was just so surprised that somebody loved me, you know. And so walk Christian walk, we have to express the love toward others that God gave to us. And he gives us this agape love, and we can love others, you know. I noticed, too, when I after I accepted Christ, I was able to love people that I didn't think I could love before, you know. And so we are Christians, and we walk this walk. It's in love, and this is why we can do the things that we do, just like Sister Session brought out, Reverend Rollison, and others, you know. The only way you can help somebody, Mr. Thomas, the only way you can do that is if you have God's love in your heart. And then you go beyond what you would do just on your own. It's not about you. It's about God.
All right.
All right. All right.
You know, you can yield your life. You'd be surprised at what you can do. People that nobody else can care about, you can care about them. You can love them because you have God's love.
All
right. And when we walk this home, we can't do it if we don't have God's love in our heart. And it makes all the difference in the world. It's not about us. It's about what God would have us to do, because he loved everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever it is, when we walk this walk, it's about love. And we can sometimes forget about what we want and what we think. And it's not about what we want and think. It's about God's love in our heart. And once we do that, we are totally blessed. And we have that hope in Jesus Christ, knowing that he's going to come back and take us to be with him, because we have walked according to his will. And this is the best of our ability. We are not perfect. We don't always do what we do.
Right.
But we do have that love that makes a difference in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And you also know, you know, what everybody said, it's so true. But sometimes we got to be careful too when we say we love the Lord, we be proud to speak of the goodness of God and praising him, but are we walking the walk and talking the talk when we're around people that's not like us? Are we willing to say Christ? Are we willing to say, speak boldly, hallelujah, thank you, Lord? You know, sometimes there are some Christians sometimes get silent. Sometimes we can't be silent on a lot of things. God will protect us and take care of us. You have to speak out, but he'll how to do it. The Holy Spirit will tell us how to talk to people. And then, you know, but sometimes if it ain't our business, it's supposed to be our business. You know, we're supposed to tell people others about Christ. And sometimes they might not like it. But we don't force his word on anyone. And we don't force our, or, you know, things that we do on nobody. But we got to be careful as Christians. You know, are we willing to be able to stand for Christ when it needs to be? Are we ashamed when we come around other people and our people's not around with us? Can we stand alone knowing that God is with us when it's time to speak up for him? So there's a lot of things go with walk the walk and talk the talk, you know. Sometimes, many days I came home from work, tired, right at 5:30, and church started at 6:30. I'm tired. I pull kids all day long. And then I love studying his word, but what I'm going to do, just study it. I have to trust God. Sometimes I do have to step out and pray. Some things is not going to be convenient when we got to live, do the things that the will of God. You know, he gave us letters rest, but something we got to make a sacrifice. We got, God loves us, and he knows that you put him, you at least let him know that when you get ready to align, even though you're tired sometimes, if I go by where I feel all the time, I never sit. Once I go there, I'm there. I'm so thankful I came. And that headache gone, that whatever's bothering me is not even on my mind at that time. So there is a peace that I get sometimes when I go, when I, you know, and I just come back home and say, thank you, Lord. You know, you know, I thought I was tired, but I'm sitting here all, and when I come home from work, I'm not asleep. I'm doing something. So I might well just go and listen to your word. And then, you know, try to live the life you have us to live. And that's one thing about it. God is good. God is good. If God gave up on us, we'd be in a world of trouble. But we got to keep continuing to show out. That's just helping others in need, doing what we're supposed to do, or being obedient to the word of God, obey our leaders, you know, do the thing. And one thing about it, God, you don't love yourself. You don't need nobody else to go to God for you. So, but his word just tell us be obedient and then obey the law of the land. All these things we learn in our Bible class to help us. It's not good just we attain it, like Reverend Robert said, just attain it, not doing nothing with it, just holding it in our, you know, our brain. We got to use it. We got to let other folks know that God is real. God is who he say he is. He will do what he say he will do. God put us through trials and tribulations as Christians, us, to be a testimony to other people. Let them know that God will do what he say he will do. A lot of times when we be obedient to God, when things happen, God brings us out of it. And we know that God is real. God is real. So even in an accident, I wasn't a bit scared when I got hit more than when it was all over with. And I called on it. And then that's when the word of God kept speaking to me out there, you know. But even your situation, if there's someone in need, you try to help that person if you can. Regardless how your circumstance, how you are. Whatever shape you in, but if there's someone in need, because you already remember there's someone worse off than you. That even if you're in a bad situation, you still, if God allowed you to see another day, you got all you can talk. He lives. If you can talk and you can't walk or whatever, God, you got some type of instrument you can use to get the word of God out and help it up. You can do something. Because like now we're in this COVID-19. So I've been quarantined. You know, those people we hadn't talked to, that's still walking the walk. We God want us to reach out and still tell others about him.
That's right.
People at the church still doing good things, coming out, going, doing things for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some folks, we're doing college party. We're doing a great job. But nobody's perfect. Nobody. If people realize that, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I ain't like her, this and that." No, that's a perfect person though. Once you get in the word of God, you will understand completely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get the word of God. I say read the word of God. Get in his word. Study his word.
Great word, Sister Pickett. One of the things that I want to say is College Park, we're kind of smug sometimes because we're in our homes. We have our cars. We have air conditioning. We got money. But right immediately around us are people who are believers in Christ who are homeless downtown, who get up every day. They wake up loving Jesus, but they wake up thinking about what to go steal. When I'm in Oak Cliff, I see people who steal every day just to eat. They go into the grocery store to steal. And then a lot of them, other than getting the food and eating it, they'll get the food. And it'll make them happy for another day. These people are believers, but in the society, they cannot walk. So we're talking about what God has did for us. But some of these people go through 20, 30, 40 years of tribulations before they realize, well, they're dead, that now I want to ask Jesus for forgiveness. But some of them have told me they ask for forgiveness every day while they're sinning. And I know I'm giving a negative side, but I want us to think about the negative side. We're preaching to each other. We're speaking to each other. We're speaking life to each other. But there are so many, and we're talking about thousands, tens of thousands. right here in our immediate area. I asked them why they don't go to church. They're talking about every time they go to church, luck is bad. Every time they go to church, they get convicted. They don't want to walk in the church because pastor's living better than they are. They don't want to walk in the church because we're judging them. And I made a comment today. My kids shouldn't lie to me because them lying to me isn't necessary because I'm not going to judge them because I see myself. So when we're looking at them and we walk by them, a lot of us won't even stop when that homeless man is too funky. A lot of us ain't going to stop and give them a dollar and tell them about Christ because we know they mentally ill and may not want to talk. You know, a lot of us aren't going to go down to the shelter unless we're giving them some noodles or something and say, hey, here you go. But that's one time out of many just feeding them. So, you know, we can speak this in the house. But Jesus walked around from city to city, not only lifting them up, but saving them. He walked those streets, and today our streets are just unsafe to walk. Satan is winning. So how do we choose some things? How do we continue to speak the truth? What we're doing now on the internet is great. We have to be able to reach more people. Our prayers should be for all of those who aren't as smug as we are. All of those who don't have family who's going in the right direction. Sister Pickens, you were hitting everything on point. Brother Rollison, you're right. Walking that walk is hard. But, you know, if you look at your age, look at my age, we've learned by our mistakes. I was sinful for 20 years. You know, and I have to look back at myself. I can't judge because I know that I it was easier to sin than it is to walk right. It was easier to do wrong to get money than to sit at home hungry because I ain't got no job and keep getting a no when I fill in an application. It's easier to go sin. So how do you get people to do right when doing right doesn't come along so easy? Doesn't come along at the drop of a dime. You know, these are things that we have to think about as a group of prayer. Now, the 12 prayed for many thousands and they won over many, many millions. As they went on, we as a small congregation have to do that as a community also. We have to continuously go to God and say, God, keep working your ministry. Keep covering these people. Lift them up. When I go, I get my hair done, you know, and I know COVID is out there. And while I'm getting my hair done, everybody around me, they're believers in Christ. They smoking weed, drinking wine, drinking whiskey, healing. And I'm looking at this. But all while I'm there, they try to act right because I'm in their presence. They're not going to do it in front of me. They're not going to let me see it. They're going to speak in their best behavior. They're going to act in their best behavior because they say, oh, Reverend Don is sitting here amongst us. But I know they're doing it. I know they're doing it. They'll go around the house or under the tree and try to do what they're going to do. And I'm sitting there looking at them, and I'm praying all to myself while I'm there. God, lift them up and let them see the light. They won't walk. They won't walk in a church. Some of them call themselves trying to do home church, you know, and home churches, I don't even know. I ain't even going to try to get into that. That's a whole nother story. But, you know, walking in the house of God is hard. We can go down every street over there in front of College Park on Sunday. They out in the yard drinking, smoking, trying to do something other than God. 75% of the people ain't got no job, and it ain't cost jobs ain't out there. It ain't cost they looking. They're lost. They feel like they don't have a chance. So sin is so easy to do something when you feel like you ain't got a chance. But as y'all look around, we're looking at COVID now. We see God working. God is changing some things. God is taking some things out. God is taking some people out. He's letting the rich fall right now. He's letting all these corporations that's been milking people for many, many years fall apart and go into bankruptcy. But he's letting his people still be safe. So while we're safe, how can we rise up? How can we get these people to walk the walk and do what they're going to do? And I know I can go on and on and on, but I'm gonna let y'all ponder that and give any kind of revelation that you have to what I just said. It gives you a lot of thought, don't it?
Young man, I want to say something that You're inspiration, because the things that you just stated are so very true. we see this every day. We see the people, even some of the churches, they go down once a month and they feed the hungry downtown, the hungry, the homeless, you know, howsoever they categorize them. It happens every day. It's like we go down one time a month and we've done a great big thing. My daughter goes to church and they do this. They do it every so often. But, you know, as you stated, this is something, what do they do the other days when they're hungry?
All right.
As you see, some of them are stealing. They do what they know to do while they're out there, because it has become a way of life with them. And as you stated, a lot of them just don't have any hope. And you, when you lose hope, you've just about lost everything. So it is true that the things you stated brings about a lot of thought to ponder on when we see our sisters and brothers in dire straits. It's something we all need to pray about and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us to know what we can do for them. Just like I told a while ago about, I didn't know what to do when I saw that lady. So I sat there and said, Lord, what must I do? You know, because right. That could have been my child. It could have been my sister if I had a sister out there laying on the concrete in the heat of the day. So the Lord gave me, don't call the police. They're not going to do anything. All the paramedics, and thank the Lord that he gave me that thought. So we just have to ask the Lord to lead us and guide us to do what he wants us to do in our everyday walk with him. And thank you, Brother Lester, for that commentary there you gave.
Amen.
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 Ain't here.
Oh, the Holy Spirit tells us that we can allow, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us on what we are supposed to do. Because to me, when you talk about walk and talk, God has each one of us have a specific job that we can do. And
all
just
right.
Like, appreciate what Brother Lester brought out as well as others, but some of the things that we have gone through in our lives when we were in the world, we can help somebody with that. But then there are some things that we are not supposed to do, you know. I'm saying that because as a senior citizen and as someone that's older and feeble, now I like people and I talk to people wherever I go. And anytime I see somebody with the, you know, even if it's just a worry look on their face or frown, I always try to say something to brighten their day. That's just the kind of way I am. But I have found out you can talk to some of these young people and they can really tell you some stuff that it'll make you just kind of want to not say anything to them. And as far as, you know, that's the reason why it's so wonderful. Whatever we've come from, God can use us to walk the walk. In other words, all I'm trying to say is my gift and my work is not the same as somebody else, and we
that's
appreciate
right.
Brother Don brought, but some things I cannot do, but the things that I can, if when we are walking the walk, we can do the things that we can do that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, that God wants us to do. He might have you reach out to a drug addict, but he might not have me do that because I don't know anything about that lifestyle. And so I talk about walk to walk, where we realize what our position is and what our duties and our job is as individuals, because we are all called for a purpose. And what is our purpose? But prayer, studying His word, loving each other, helping each other, giving, and all these things are things that we have to we do. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
God is good.
Amen.
I saw a lady one day. I was going to church, and it was a white young girl, white young lady, and she was just passing right by my house. And so I stopped because I hated to see any woman, but especially somebody that I feel like might not have belonged in this neighborhood. Out of my car, and I said, "Well, what are you doing?" I spoke to her, and I said, "What are you doing over here?" And so, because she just walked down the street Sunday morning, coming from up where, somewhere, and she said she was going somewhere. But 2 or 3 days later, I went up to the Flying J the Shell station to get some gasoline, and she was up there. And I just had to stop and talk to her, and I asked her, where, she said, I asked her, "Where does your mother live?" And she said, Sulphur Springs. I was just trying to talk to her and let her know, you know, that maybe she could go back home, because I hate to see her in the street like that. But sometimes we don't know what to do, you know, but just pray for them, and we can't really help them, you know. I wouldn't have mind just bringing her to my house, but, you know, you can't do that. So you don't know what to do. And as a senior citizen, it's kind of hard, because there's a lot of things I would like to do to help people, but I don't know how. And then my children and then sometimes when you talk to people, young people, they can say such stuff. I don't understand. You know, I asked one man, young man, about the Lord and going to church, and I mean, he really just told me some stuff I just didn't want to hear and didn't understand. So you just have to be careful about it. But it's always prayers always for somebody my age can't do very much. I'm
serious. Well, if all have completed and made the comments, they've all been very encouraging. And this has been food for thought tonight, because it has really given us some ideas and has opened up an avenue of thought that a lot of us may have forgotten about. So with this being said and done, if there's nothing else, we'll turn this back over to our facilitator at this time.
Amen. I just have a few announcements, and I'm just going to give these announcements, then I'm going to turn this over to our teacher to actually bless us out on tonight. So thank you so much, Reverend Rollison, for teaching us. I really, really was interested in the piece that you had to give us, to share with us about the Black Panther Party, and I was really inspired how you connected those issues with what's going on today, even with the Black Lives Matter movement that's happening now. So I was really, really blessed by that, and it definitely gave me a lot to ponder. So I took a lot. But just a quick announcement, we will have prayer in the morning at 7 o'clock a.m. on this same conference call number. So if you want to join us for an hour of prayer, we're going to be praying in the morning at 7 a.m. On Monday, you know, even as we talk today about walking the walk and we talk about helping people and loving people, you know, it's really difficult to help people and love people when you're in a state of brokenness. So one of the things that we'll start talking about is how we can become whole, how we can look at our personal issues, look at our brokenness, look at our weakness, look at any bitterness that we have within ourselves, because when we can heal ourselves and love ourselves, then we can love others. So on Monday night, we're going to be talking about family secrets, dirty lies, and the spirit of rejection. On Wednesday, we are going to have a teaching by Minister Annette Thomas, and she is going to be teaching on It's Okay If I'm Not Okay. So we're going to be moving forward with this midweek teaching on some addressing soul issues, so that we can get the deliverance and the healing that we need so that we could be whole. And so it's going to be easier for us to see brothers and sisters on the street and be able to give a helping hand because we are whole and we're able to do a little bit better. So that's all the announcement that I had for now. And I'm going to turn it over to our teacher for us to bless us out on tonight. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we just thank everyone that joined in tonight, those that participated, and those who wanted to sit and listen and maybe be a part of God's program tonight. Right now, since there's nothing else, we do want to give a shout out to our pastor and first lady. We know our first lady celebrates.
Hello.
We lost you, Reverend Rollison. Reverend Rollison, I think your mute button may be on. So if you could just select your mute button, select your microphone. Mm-hmm.
There we go. There was. I don't know what happened there, but I go ahead on and pray us out before it cut off again. This ain't no Heavenly Father, we just come thanking you right now for all that you've been able to do tonight, oh Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word, oh Heavenly Father. Thank you for letting us know, oh Heavenly Father, that we have to be able to walk the walk tonight, oh Heavenly Father, to be able to reach out and do more, oh Heavenly Father. Let our actions speak the word for us, O Heavenly Father. It is easy for us to say it in word, O Heavenly Father, but we want to let our actions do our talking, O Heavenly Father. So, Father, just continue to give us the strength to go forward. Continue to bless each and every one tonight, O Heavenly Father. Bless our First Lady and bless our pastor, O Heavenly Father, that they may continue to grow strong, O Heavenly Father, and may continue to do the will that you would have them to do. Right now, O Heavenly Father, bless each and every one. And that they may continue to be safe from this virus, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Good night, God.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Night, everybody. Amen. Love y'all.
Mm-hmm. Love you.